Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
We are once again. It's Jamie D and Big Newt. I'm Jamie D'Amico. He is Big Chris Newton. And let me tell you all, at 8:18 this morning, the day after the Bills game, I get a text message from Big Newt that says, I want a podcast right now. I bet you got some feelings, huh?
Well, I want to just say, man, Bills Mafia, this is all my fault. I put that loss on me. Last night, we did the pregame show, Countdown to Kickoff, was Buffalo Rumblings as a whole. It was Bruce Nolan on there, Jay Spence, Joe Miller, and Nate from Circle of the Wagon. So I retweeted it. If you all didn't catch it, we did like a Facebook Live pregame, and it was fun, right? And so we did it all the way to kickoff, and then we wind up losing, and it's like, okay, I can't do this again because this is messing up my pregame routine. Okay, so I'll take Bills Mafia. I'll take this loss because Big Newt didn't do his regular routine. He tried to step out the box and do something different since we were winning, and I felt good about this game, but it's not happening again. No, I'm just,
well, I'm glad you figured out what the issue was.
You know, if the uppers tell us we're doing it, I'm doing it. So, but
Has Sean McDermott been informed?
I don't think so.
No. Well, we better make sure we tell them.
Not yet.
So I've got a question for you. One big question. Would you have gone for it on that fourth down?
Yes.
Yes. Tell me about it.
What it comes down to is it was a great play call. You and I was texting each other during the time on our group text. Jared feel like we shouldn't have did it. I like being aggressive, and also I like the ball in our best player's hands in that situation. If we, let's just say, okay, it didn't make it right, so obviously, oh, it's a bad call. But let's say we kick the extra point and they win the coin toss, and then you just watch Derrick Henry run down our throats for a touchdown and the game's over. The best player on our team doesn't even get an opportunity. We had a chance to win the game, and fourth and inches, it doesn't get better than that. What I do have a problem with is two things. I love the play call. I just don't like Josh Allen going from the shotgun, then he goes up the goes under center, and then he takes a lateral step left and try to find a hole like he did on the goal line on the other end, I believe in the second quarter, and he got blown up.
He got stuffed.
Okay. I played center in high school, and I'm always reverting back to my Division II career, but I played center. We ran quarterback sneak all the time, okay? You snap the ball, I fall forward, you step on my hamstrings, step on my calves, step on my butt, step on my back. I don't care. You go over top of me, and you're going to get inches every time, and I still believe that. When Josh Allen gets fourth and inches, he gets it what? I think they said 16 out of 17 times, and then the one time he didn't get it is because of a bad snap. Okay, you run up to the line, you line up, fall forward. You don't take steps back. You don't try to find a hole behind the guard. Okay, that to me, that was poor execution on not even the line fall, because we saw Deion Dawkins get blown up. Okay, but that was Josh Allen's fault for taking that lateral step. He should have just went over the top of Morris. If he had to jump, step on him, whatever he had to do. But I feel like that was poor execution. I think that was a great call.
I would have gone for it too. I want a team that's aggressive and plays to win the game, not to tie the game on the road. And you know the defense wasn't stopping anybody. They gave up points on six straight Titans possessions. That is not a defense that came to play.
Yep, I agree.
Win it during regulation. Don't leave it to the gods of overtime. I agree. Hindsight is 20/20, but I wouldn't have done it any differently. I really wouldn't have. That is the Sean McDermott that we need. That is the Sean McDermott that the team needs. He showed the players that he believes in them to go out there and make a play. He put it in the players' hands. It was good coaching.
And not only the players' hands, but it's your best player. So, I mean, that's what you want, you know. Mm-hmm. And like you said, the way they were running the ball down our throat, that would have just been a slow death. I'd just rather you just decapitate me like you did last night. And I don't feel like it was death, but I'm just saying, watching Henry the way he was running, just watching him run the ball down our throats, if we were going to lose, I'd rather lose like that. And I know a lot of people today are probably saying, oh, a loss is a loss, and I'm not a believer of that. And I've always stood on that. I do believe in good losses. I don't believe, oh, it's just the final product, because if you were going to lose, I want to lose like that. We scored 31 points. Josh Allen looked good. It's just our defense didn't play well. And championship teams have defenses that don't play well three or four games out the year. So I'm cool with that. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think Josh Allen played well. I feel like we didn't run the ball well. Only thing about coaching is now looking back at the tape, probably maybe we could have used Boogie Basham and Epinesa. We got very little pass rush on Tannehill, so mm-hmm. maybe they could have helped. I understand them not being active. We wanted probably more beef on the field to stop Henry, which we didn't do anyway. We only got to Tannehill, I think we only touched them two or three times, where their defense hit Josh Allen eight times and had three sacks, I believe. Mm-hmm. We got little pass rush. So that, if anything, this might be on Leslie Frazier, which is fine. I ain't saying, oh, he's bad or we don't need him or anything like that, or fire him, because you're going to have some stinkers. That was just a defensive stinker. Offensively, we played well enough to win, in my opinion.
The defense wasn't good. And even more than Derrick Henry running around, the thing that bothered me was their complete inability to stop the play action pass in the second half of the game. A.J. Brown, it seemed like he was never covered in the second half. And we knew those receivers going up against Levi Wallace was going to be a problem, because he struggles against big bodied dudes. And it wasn't even their size necessarily that threw Levi off. He just couldn't run with top-notch receivers. But I would like to talk about the second-to-last drive the Bills had.
Okay.
You saw a deep ball to Emmanuel Sanders, who was double-covered. And during that play, Tommy Sweeney was wide open across the middle, about 15 yards downfield, with nobody near him. And then the play after that, you saw a throw go 15 to 20 yards downfield to Jake Kumerow, who was thoroughly covered with Cole Beasley wide open in the middle of the field. That was the reason the Bills lost the game. They went 3-and-out on a possession when they couldn't afford to go 3-and-out. They stopped the clock multiple times. What? You can't go broke by taking a profit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Take the dudes over the middle. I understand Josh Allen is trying to end the game in one play. I thought he was trying to do too much. And to me, he at minimum wasn't intelligent in his decision making. To me, him hitting dudes over the middle, assuming that the throw is completed, the clock keeps running, the flags move, Bills get a first down, they keep moving. And the Bills showed the ability against the Titans to actually string together long drives, which is something they hadn't done all season long, but But repeatedly, they were taking the ball, holding it for 4 or 5 minutes, moving it into the red zone, not putting it into the end zone, and that was an issue as well. But hold the ball, run out the clock, score again if you can, but at minimum, change, flip the field. Make the Titans go the whole distance of the field. You know, don't punt it to their 30-yard line. That's what got to me.
Well, Josh Allen threw 353 yards, 3 touchdowns, a pick, which you really – can you really put that pick on him?
No.
Okay. So he had 108 QBR, and he his percentage was almost 75%. Did he miss some guys? Yes, I agree with the sequence you're talking about. I believe on one of the field goals, Emmanuel Sanders was wide open in the back of the end zone. The telecast showed that. We all saw that. Did he miss some guys? Yeah, but if you throw 75% for almost 400 yards and 3 touchdowns with little to no running game and your defense give up more than 30 points, I'm not putting this one on him.
And I'm not putting the game on him. I am just saying that he didn't play smart in that second to last drive, and it may have put the Bills in a tougher position. But now here's the thing. If the defense makes even one stop in the second half, it's a different game.
Mm-hmm. And I heard people say, well, instead of taking field goals, why are we taking field goals on 4th and 3 and all that? And it's been games where we started off slow, took field goals, and then we warmed up and still wind up blowing them out. I feel like early in the game, you take the points. Mm-hmm. Even when it was 6-0, you knew that Derrick Henry could break open and break one. And he did. That was a great play, even though I feel like A.J. Brown held T. White on that play. But
he did.
You know, and they didn't call it. You know what I'm saying? So I felt like the referees, who I feel like was horrible from the sense of they took way too much time deliberating.
Insane, wasn't it?
Yeah, it made my head hurt. I was just like, and I would be honest with you, that's why we were texting first half, second half. I got on the phone and talked to my friends in California and just let the game go, and I paused it so I could just skip to the commercials to the end because it was driving me nuts.
Yeah.
So I caught up at the end. I paused it at halftime, and then I let it go 40 minutes, and then I caught up.
I actually really like doing it. My parents were in town, and they watched the first half of the game with me. And I'll have you know that when Josh Allen got stopped at the end of the game, I jumped up out of my chair to yell an expletive. And when I did, I stubbed my toe on the coffee table, and I'm pretty sure it's broken.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I think I broke my toe. I have an x-ray coming up.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Oh, my goodness. I know that hurts like hell. I hate when you hit the end of a coffee table and you just hit it, it hurts like hell. So to break it, oh, my God.
Well, it's weird. It hurt, but it wasn't that bad. But it felt very, very strange after that. You know how sometimes when, like, your toenail gets caught on a thread inside of your sock?
Yeah.
It kind of pulls on.
And it pulls, yeah.
Yeah. My toe felt like it was being pulled on like that. And I kept taking my sock off to look at it. I'm like, this is strange. What's going on here? And I woke up this morning and it's a variety of shades of purple. I'm like, oh, I need an x-ray.
Oh, wow.
see what they made me do. If it's your fault the Bills lost, it's the Bills' fault that I broke my toe.
I know, that's right. Well, at least you got 2 weeks to heal. It's the bye week.
Yeah. And because of the bye week, I'm supposed to be in Montreal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we decided we're going to do a little vacation, but we might have to delay that because I can't walk.
Huh. You going to be able to get in?
Be able to get in?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be able to get in. Oh. Just have to do the COVID protocol.
Gotcha. Okay.
Anyway, thought it would be a nice way of spending the bye.
Yeah. I didn't know what the protocols was, so.
Yeah. So, let's look at a bigger picture. Does this change the complexion of the season at all?
No. And this is just like last year. We had a stinker. It was a game we should have won in Arizona Cardinals. It was a stinker, should have won. And that was going into the bye week, I think, right?
Yeah.
I think it was the bye week.
Mm-hmm.
And so I look at it like this. The only thing this does is you got to sit on it for 2 weeks. You know, so this weekend, like you, go on a vacation, spend time with your lovely wives, go to, you know, do Halloween stuff, go apple picking and all those festivities and don't get your mind off of it. Spend time with your family, maybe go to the gym, do something else, get your mind off football, and then we'll get back and get ready for Miami game.
Yeah.
It's just embarrassing. That's all.
And they didn't play a great game. They still put up 31 points and only lost by a field goal.
Right.
This team is good.
I think so. And like I said, I know you all might think this is hyperbole, but that was actually a good game, dude. Like, I know it don't feel like it right now. I know people are pissed off that we didn't win. I get it. I've been there. You've been around me after some losses, and I'm just looking like I just don't want to go home. I don't want to deal with life. I don't want to go to work. This is not that at all. That was actually a good game. Here's my thing. Would you rather have lost, like, think about if we would have lost, like, 10-3. Like, who wants to see that? Like, we just came up on a short end of a good game that we should have won. Once again, I always talk about the Bush push game. I was there. That's one of the greatest games in college football, at least in my lifetime, college football history. We just came up short. It was a great game. They talk about it all the time. This was a great game. It was exciting. It was a lot of scoring. I mean, it was back and forth. I mean, that's better than losing 14-7. Because then you're looking like, are we this good? I mean, I enjoyed it, man. It was a good one.
Yeah. I don't think that it changes the complexion of the season at all. I think the Bills are going to be, they're going to win the division. They're going to be in the playoffs. I think it would be great for them to peak at the right time of the season, which they haven't done yet. But I think it also uncovered a couple of things, amongst which is the warts that we thought the Bills had on defense are apparently still there, but it was masked by the ineptitude of the offenses that the Bills had faced up to this point. Namely, the pass rush isn't really there. That Levi Wallace is not great in coverage. We knew this going into the season, but it wasn't showing up. And yesterday, it did.
And we talk about takeaways.
Remember? Oh, right.
We only had, one takeaway last night?
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about that too. Can you sustain good play if you're not turning over to the other team? You know, we talk about that all the time.
And that was, that interception by Jordan Poyer was excellent. He read that beautifully.
He did.
But the other thing that I wanted to point out is in the first half of the game, the points that Tennessee got were kind of fluky. A 76-yard run, that's a bit of a fluke. I mean, what are the chances that a running back breaks through the middle of the line of scrimmage and there's nobody there? It's a fluke. That interception that bounced off or that got tipped in the air and then intercepted, that's a fluke, and that set them up for points. I mean, that's 10 points easily right there that just aren't likely to happen in other situations. And that's one of the things with football is you don't always have luck on your side. You need to play well enough to overcome that. And the Bills weren't quite there. Couldn't get a stop on defense. You know, couldn't quite control the clock long enough in the fourth quarter to pull it off. But you think they're going to learn from this? I would say undoubtedly they're going to.
And like I said before, man, I mean, it's one of those situations where if it fuels us for the rest of the season, we're going to look back at this and like, hey, we needed it, just like we needed the Cardinals loss last year. So I don't have a problem with it, you know. And so I feel like we're going to be more focused going into practice. I think people are going to listen up a little bit more than maybe they would. They're going to think about it while they're in Cancun and going out of the country and stuff like you. And we're going to get back to work, man. And we got a couple, we got about four or five scrubs coming up here soon. So we're going to be in a good situation, my friend.
Yeah. Now, I realize that there's a lot of hand-wringing going on. People are looking at the top teams in the AFC. And people have said, this doesn't look like a team that can beat the Chargers, that can beat the Browns. Well, maybe yesterday they wouldn't have been able to. But that doesn't mean that when they're back on the field in 2 weeks that they're not going to be in a position to do it. Are they the runaway best team in the NFL, as some people were saying, as Drew Brees said last week? Or, I'm sorry, as Drew Brees said on Sunday? No, but I never did think that there was a huge gap between the Bills and the other teams. They just happened to have a signature win against a big-name team up to that point. And yeah, they played well, but don't count this team out. This team is as good as any team in the AFC and can probably compete with the best in the NFC too.
Yeah, I agree. And looking at the schedule, it doesn't change. I mean, we still got Tampa Bay. New Orleans is going to be healthy when we play them Thanksgiving. I still worry about those guys. I just want to see, once again, if we're going to, are we going to drop one to a scrub?
Well, like,
don't lose the Jacksonville game. Don't lose to Miami. I mean, that's the thing with me. That's all that did. We just gave up one of our mulligans. I mean, you know, we gave up one of our trump cards. That's all. It's no shame in losing to Pittsburgh. It's no shame in losing to Tennessee. They're tough. One thing that did bother me was their physicality. I feel like Tennessee was more physical than us. Mm-hmm. I feel like they was out there sticking us, and even on the last on the goal line where we were on the fourth and inches, Dawkins stepped down, all right, to block down, and he just got creamed, you know. And so, I would like to see us, if anything, just continue to be physical. And a funny thing about that play, I don't know if you saw on Twitter, it's trending right now as I'm recording on Tuesday afternoon. Chris Broussard had a wonderful take on that play. Did you hear about that?
Yes, please. Please tell all about it.
He said that Josh Allen didn't get the fourth and inches because Tyler Lewan, his all-pro left tackle, was not in the game. And he was, and they showed the highlight. Like, who is this? Look at Deion Dawkins. Who's that guy getting ran over? Like, Deion Dawkins is a backup. And so if you haven't seen it, you can just put it in Twitter. It'll come right up. Or I also, you can go to my Twitter page and you can see it. I retweeted it. But that just goes to show these national pundits have no idea, dude.
None. I mean, how can you be so, I don't want to call him dumb because it was obviously a mistake, but how can you be talking about a player on the other team and saying that's, come on.
What about during the telecast when Josh Allen threw the ball and it got batted and he batted it down and he's like, yeah, look at Ryan Tannehill. That's a veteran move. That's experience knocking the ball down. And we're like,
yeah,
that's Josh Allen.
And another time there was a penalty called on number 39 of the Titans. And they said, penalty on Levi Wallace.
Exactly. And it was on them. So that, to me, that's what you get. We talk about that all the time. Like, to me, I feel like people of the team should announce the team so things like that doesn't happen. Because that's obvious. I mean, you're very astute in Buffalo Bills, but I'm sure you don't know the New Orleans Saints or Tampa Bay Bucks or Green Bay Packers roster like that. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know squad.
You know? So just imagine, you're well-versed in Buffalo, but what if you had to go talk about another team? You'd be like, oh, okay, let me go online and try to look stuff up. And then maybe you'll make a mistake or two, you know? So I get it. But and then you got to realize on these on First Take and all these morning shows, they're up in their production meetings probably at 2-3 in the morning, half sleep. And so I'm just surprised nobody caught him. But he did come back in the next segment and say he was wrong about the Tyler Lewan thing. So
I wonder what it feels like to have to go on TV and be like, I'm an idiot.
Well, I feel like if you're on TV every day for hours a day for your whole life, you're going to make mistakes. Hell, we've made mistakes. I know I have.
Yeah, we have the benefit of editing it out.
Yeah, that's true.
But then sometimes I don't even catch that, and it still ends up in the podcast.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm like, do you know you left this in here?
And I'm like, oh, sorry, big man.
You know, I mean, it happens, man, you know. So
Someday, man, someday we're going to have to give them access to some of the stuff that we edit out of here, because the ridiculousness is just sort of unbelievable.
Yeah, one day we'll open up the vault. Let's say we're doing this for 5 years. Let me say our 5-year anniversary, we'll open up the vault.
Okay. I think that's a good idea, because by that point we'll have stuff that is truly hilarious.
Oh yeah.
Like me knocking my microphone over.
You said you're going to Montreal, and I'm like, oh, you're gonna have a problem getting up there? You was like, why not? And I'm like, wait a minute. Am I making a mistake? Montreal is in Canada, right? And I'm like, you didn't get that reference, but you didn't go along with it. So I'm like, wait, is Montreal somewhere else? So I didn't have time enough to think about it like that, because you so I just wanted to make sure I didn't mess. You like, Newt, Montreal is in South America. Like, I was just making sure we're talking about the same thing. Did you see? But anyway, what I was going to say about Montreal is, you see Drake, the rapper, is getting like people into Canada. Like, he makes, like, they're not able to come into the country, and then he makes a call, and now all of a sudden they're able to come into the country.
Oh, that guy's annoying.
And I'm like, dang, is he the biggest thing that Canada has? I mean, he could just make a call and do that.
I thought the biggest thing in Canada was the band Rush.
I thought it was Justin Bieber.
Oh yeah. God, I'm old.
You know? So, but yeah, I just think that was an exciting game. I wish we could have pulled it out, but it doesn't detour us from what we're trying to do at all.
I don't think so. You know, it was another first place team, and the Bills had they're one game better. Now they're tied. And we heard all kinds of things about how terrible their defense was, but these things do ebb and flow over the course of a season.
Right.
You know, the Steelers had a great offense at the beginning of last year, and then it couldn't move the ball. And sure, the Titans started with a bad defense. The Jets were all over them. But if teams fix problems, and teams develop problems over the course of the year. So you can't really... You have to look at what you had in front of you. The Titans looked like a good team. They usually are good team. And they make the playoffs every year. So they've got something good going on. Vrabel's a good coach. They've got talent. Just not on defense so much.
Yeah. And that was deflating. I mean, their secondary was bad. And then they got guys getting hurt all over the field. Like, I'm just like, dude. Please, for the love of God, let's just throw the ball over the yard and get this win, man. I felt like that once Jackson went out, I'm like, man, who's this next guy coming in? Is he a practice squad player? Like, I'm like, we should be able to burn him up and down the field. And we took advantage of those things, but I don't know.
Well, I think they were smart, because when they brought those guys in, they either dropped everybody into coverage into zone so as to not expose them, or they blitzed the heck out of Josh Allen and made him get rid of the ball before the downfield routes could open up.
Right.
That's good coaching. That's a good plan by the defensive coordinator. But yeah, I mean, I feel like the receivers, they should have had two guys go over 100 yards receiving. They didn't get that. Yeah. It's frustrating. I actually woke up. I got to be honest with you. When I woke up this morning, I felt traumatized. And I'm not exactly sure why, because the games tend to not affect me that badly, but I woke up this morning and it felt gut punched, and I don't know why.
Really?
Yeah. I rarely have that reaction.
Was it because your parents was in town and maybe they were talking about it or something?
Maybe I was just tired because they wore me out.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know what it was.
Yeah.
Usually you're the one who puts me in a bad mood.
I know, right? Oh, man.
What else is on your mind?
So I guess we'll just come with our report card next week during the bye week and then get ready for Miami. So
I think that's a perfect use of time next week.
Yeah, I think next week we'll do our report card and, you know, and do our little recap. Not middle of the season recap, but not quite a quarter of the recap since we got 17 games. So
17 games, but they're through six of them, so it's a good time.
I think so.
Anyway.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to the post-bye season because the Bills should be able to get anything that's ailing them back on track.
I agree. You see Dawson Knox broke his hand.
Broken hand, yes.
Yeah. But they saying that I'm reading that he shouldn't be out too long, especially since we're on a bye this week, so.
Right, he threw that two-point conversion with a broken hand. So he had both a rushing attempt and a passing attempt. Rushing attempt obviously got called back, but when they handed the ball off to him, I was shocked.
I know, he was scooting, man. I was like, look at Knox, man. Shoot.
Yeah, your boy can motor, can he?
Yeah. I was impressed, man. But that got called, but the touchdown got called back, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But
oh well.
But yeah, our schedule is quite favorable from here on in. So just take care of the scrubs, man, and we'll be. And the world thinks that we're still okay. I believe ESPN Power Rankings this morning we fell from number one to number two. So I'll take that.
Yeah, some of them dropped the Bills from number one, number two down to six or eight. But I think that that's a great place to be, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's you can win the Super Bowl as the eighth best team in week number 6-7.
As Tampa.
Right.
You know, we can always refer to that because who would have thought the Tampa would make a run that they did? So
it's a long season, man.
And we still got the top defense in the league too, which is surprising. I mean, we fell as far as rushing is concerned, but we still got the top ranked defense.
Yeah, well, I hope they figure out how to keep teams down to 12 points a game as they were previous to this one. Hey, buddy, you got a song?
Enjoy your bye week, everybody, and have fun. Go to the Apple Orchard, spend time with your loved ones, man. Hey.